Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we are really cracking open chapter four, all about multiplication. Now, we all multiply things pretty much every day, right? But really nailing down the rules, the long methods for bigger numbers, well, that's different.
That's absolutely right. It's about turning that everyday familiarity into real efficiency and, confidence.
So our mission for this deep dive.
Yeah, our mission is basically to recap this whole chapter. We want to make sure you walk away feeling solid about tackling multiplication, even with, say, up to four-digit numbers.
Without getting totally bogged down in theory.
Exactly. It's about understanding the core ideas, the properties, those handy shortcuts, and the structure for bigger problems. The goal mentioned is multiplying two numbers, potentially up to four digits each.
Okay, let's start with those foundational rules then. The properties of multiplication. There were four key ones, right?
Yes, four essential properties. They kind of govern how multiplication works.
Okay.
And understanding them gives you, well, flexibility.
Flexibility. Okay, how so? Let's take the first one.
So the first one is the commutative property. Sounds fancy, but it just means order doesn't matter.
Like $7 times 8 is $56.
Right, and $8 times 76 is also $56.
Yeah.
The product is the same.
Okay, simple enough, but why is that powerful?
Well, it means if you find one way easier to think about in your head, like maybe $9 times 12 to you feels easier than 12 times 99, you can just flip it. You get the same answer, 108 in that case. It lets you choose the path of least resistance,
Ah, I see. Mental math choices. Okay, what's next? The grouping one.
Yeah, the associative property. This is for when you've got three or more numbers to multiply. It says it doesn't matter how you group them using
Just
parentheses.
as an example.
Sure. Let's say you have $5 times 4 times $6. You do the $4 times 6, 6 first. That's 24. Then $5 times 24, 4, which is 120.
Okay.
But if you group it differently, like $5 times 4 times 6, 6 heads, now you do 5 times 4, 4 first. That's 20. Then $20 times 6, 6. Still 120.
Right, same result. So you can pick the grouping that makes the calculation easier along the way.
Precisely. Super useful when you have a longer chain of multiplications.
Okay, two down. Then there were the ones involving one and oh.
Yep. The unitary property, or sometimes called the identity property. Any number multiplied by one is just itself.
So $900,267 times one is just 900,267 or seven.
Exactly. Seems obvious, maybe, but it's fundamental for checking work and other math concepts later on. It's like a baseline.
And the last one, the big zero.
The zero property. Anything times zero is zero. Doesn't matter how huge the other number is, $500, $679, it's zero.
Right. Even like 10 million times zero is still zero. Kind of blows your mind a bit.
It really does. It shows a sort of boundary in arithmetic. So those four properties give us that flexibility.
Okay, flexible foundation set. Now let's talk about efficiency, getting faster. The chapter had shortcuts for multiplying by 10, 100, and 1,000.
Ah, yes, the zero trick. This is where we leverage place value to avoid doing, long multiplication when we don't have to.
So multiplying by 10, 100, or 1,000.
Super simple. You just take the original number and tack on the same number of zeros as are in the 10, 100, or 1,000.
So 9,485 times $1,000. You just write 9,485 and add three zeros.
Yep. $9,485,000.
Yeah.
Done. No real calculation needed, just shifting the digits.
Okay, that's neat. But what about multiplying by, say, 20 or 30 or maybe 400?
Good question. That's where people sometimes get stuck. The trick is to break it down. Don't multiply by 20 directly.
So what do you do?
You multiply by the non-zero digit first. So for 375 times $20, you'd calculate 375 times 22.
Okay, 375 times 22 is 750.
Right. And then, because it was 20, which is $2 times 10, you multiply that 750 by 10, which just means adding 10.
Ah, so 750 becomes 7,500.
Exactly. You split the task,
Yeah.
multiply by 2, then multiply by 10. Much easier.
And that works for hundreds too, like 234 times $300.
Same logic. Multiply 234 times 33. That gives you 702.
Okay.
And since it was 300, which is $3 times $100, you now multiply by 100. So you add two zeros.
Making it 70,200.
You got it. And the source even mentions this extends to thousands. Like 26 times could $3,000.
So 26 times 33 is 78. Then add three zeros.
Yep, 78,000. These are really powerful mental math tools. Big time savers.
Definitely see that. Okay, so we have flexibility from properties, efficiency from shortcuts. What's the third pillar?
Structure. This is the main event, really. The column method for multi-digit multiplication. This is how you tackle the big ones, like a four-digit number times a three-digit number.
Right. This is where things can look intimidating. Lots of numbers, adding things up. What's the most critical part to get right here?
Without a doubt, is handling the place value correctly, specifically with the partial products, and the key to that. The placeholder zeros.
Placeholder zeros. Okay, explain that. Let's use an example, maybe the one from the source. $416 times $239.
Okay, good one. So $416 times $239. We break down the 239 into its digits. 9 ones, 3 tens, which is 30, and 2 hundreds, which is 200. We multiply 416 by each of these parts separately.
So first step.
First, $416 times 99. That calculation gives you 3,744. Since the 9 was in the ones place, this first partial product lines up nicely starting in the ones column.
Okay, 3,744. Now the next digit in 239 is 3, but it's really 30.
Exactly. That's the crucial insight. We're doing $416 times $30. Now, because we're multiplying by tens, our answer needs to start in the tens column.
How do we make sure it lines up right?
We put a zero as a placeholder in the ones column on the second line. Then we calculate $416 times 33, which is 1248, and write that down next to the zero. So the second line reads 2480. That zero holds the place value.
Got it. So the zero isn't part of the $416 times 33 calculation. It's there for alignment because we were actually multiplying by 30.
Precisely. And the pattern continues. The next digit is 2, representing 200.
So now we need placeholders for the ones and the tens columns.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because we're multiplying by hundreds, $416 times $200, the result needs to start in the hundreds column. So we put down two zeros as placeholders on the third line.
Okay, two zeros.
Then we calculate $460 times 22, which is 832, and write that next to the two zeros. So the third line is 83,200.
And the final step is just adding those three lines, the partial products.
Correct. So you add up 3,744, 1,2480, and 83,200, making sure they're all lined up by place value. And that sum gives you the final answer. 99,424.
Wow. Okay. So the structure is all about those partial products and the placeholder zeros keeping everything aligned.
Absolutely. Get that right, and you can handle really large numbers. The source even confirms this works for things like 400,236,3,546,7. That's a 4-digit by 3-digit problem yielding 1,465,656. It shows the system scales up.
That makes sense. It's a robust method if you follow the structure. Okay, so we've got multiplying two numbers down. What about multiplying like a chain of numbers or simplifying expressions with different operations?
Right. The continued product is pretty straightforward. If you have, say, $184 times 12 times 42, you just do it step by step.
Using the associative property we talked about.
Kind of, yeah. You choose a pair to multiply first, maybe $184 times 12.2. That gives 2208.
Okay.
Then you take that result, 2208, and multiply it by the remaining number, 4. So 2,208 times 4.3 gives $8,832. You just work through the chain.
Simple enough, but simplification.
Yeah.
That's where order matters more, right? When you mix multiplication with adding and subtracting.
Oh, absolutely. You can't just go left to right then. There's a specific order. The core rule here is multiplication first.
Why is that? Can you give a real world reason?
Sure. Think about shopping. You buy, say, 5 shirts at $20 each. Then you have a $10 off coupon and maybe pay $3 for a bag.
Yeah.
You have to calculate the total cost of the shirts first, 5 times 20 equals 100 to 100 bob, before you subtract the coupon or add the bag cost. You wouldn't do 5 times 20, 10, like 5 times kind of,
yeah.
Right.
No, that makes sense. Yeah. Calculate costs before applying discounts. Okay, so what are the steps the chapter gives for simplifying these mixed expressions?
Step 1, do all the multiplications first. Get rid of those, so you're only left with numbers being added or subtracted.
Turn it into just pluses and minuses.
Exactly. Step 2, group them. Put all the positive numbers together and all the negative numbers together. Remember, the first number is usually positive unless it has a minus sign right before it.
Okay. Group positives, group negatives.
Step 3, add up all the positives to get one positive total. Add up all the negatives to get one negative total.
And finally.
Step 4, subtract the total of the negatives from the total of the positives. That gives you your final simplified answer.
Like in that example, $195, $56 plus $250, $968 plus $650, $55, you'd find the sum of $195, $250, and $615 first.
Right, that's $1,060 first. Then you'd combine the negatives, $506 and $968, which gives $100, $200, $204.
And then $160, $100, $204.
Which equals 36. That's the simplified result.
And I remember the source mentioning BODMAS later on, right? Brackets, orders, division, multiplication, addition, subtraction. This multiplication first rule fits into that bigger picture.
It does. BODMAS is the full hierarchy for all operations. Uh-huh. We're just focusing on the MAS part here mostly.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, multiplication definitely comes before addition and subtraction in the grand scheme.
Okay, good context. So we've built up all these skills. Now let's connect it back to the why, the word problems, applying this math.
Exactly. This is where the rubber meets the road. Word problems test. if you can translate a real situation into a mathematical operation.
What were some typical examples from the chapter?
Well, there are straightforward ones, like finding the total cost. If you need 76 chairs and each costs, say, 880 currency units.
You just multiply 76 stars, 881.
Right, which gives you 66,880 currency units. Simple application of the multiplication skill.
But then there were trickier ones, multi-step problems, like that savings example.
Yes, the one about Sanjeev saving 1,438 currency units every month for 4 years. That one requires an extra step up front.
Because the savings are monthly, but the time frame is years.
Exactly. You can't just multiply 438 times $14. That would be wrong.
You have to figure out the total number of months first.
Correct. So 4 years times 12 months per year. That's 48 months. That's the number you need.
Okay, so the actual calculation is 438 times 488.
Yes. And that gives the total savings, 69,024 currency units. It shows you need to analyze the problem setup, not just jump to multiplying.
So whether it's savings or total cost or maybe figuring out the capacity of like 45 water tanks each holding 375 liters, multiplication is key for those cumulative totals.
It really is. Totals, areas, volumes, scaling things up. Multiplication is fundamental.
So wrapping this deep dive up, we've covered a lot. The basic properties giving flexibility.
Mm-hmm. The commutative and associative ones.
Yeah.
And unitary and zero.
Then the efficiency tricks with multiples of 10, the zero trick.
Huge time savers, those.
And the core structure. Column multiplication, nailing those partial products and placeholder zeros for numbers up to 4 by 3 digits.
Crucial for accuracy with large numbers.
Plus handling continued products and the order of operations for simplification.
Multiplication before addition and subtraction.
Yeah. The goal was really to take what might feel like a complex chapter and boil it down to these actionable skills, hopefully building confidence.
And what's really neat, I think, is seeing how all these pieces fit together. The properties allow certain methods, the shortcuts speed things up, the column method provides structure. But they all lead to a consistent, correct answer. There's a reliability to the math.
That reliability is definitely reassuring. Okay, so to leave you, our listener, with something to chew on, a challenge from the source material itself. Now that you've revisited these tools, consider this. What is the product when you multiply the largest possible 4-digit number by the largest possible 3-digit number?
Ooh, that's a big one.
It is, but you've got the method now. You have the structure, the understanding of place value, all the tools needed to tackle even that maximum scale problem. Something to think about.